message this morning in song. Amen. Not only that one, the one Miss Kay sang a while ago. That's awesome, isn't it? Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter. Not 1 John, 1 Peter. We've been going through 1 John, and but we're going to be doing a thought out of 1 John on Wednesday evenings. And we are dealing with Christ in you, the hope of glory, how to live in this wicked world, a godly life. And so, then we're going to go into the book of Romans, but I didn't feel led to try to start Romans before we go to Israel and get back. I feel like it's going to be a long interruption there. But anyhow, God laid something on my heart that I want to share with you this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. I do want you to remember to pray also for our neighbor, Larry Tart. He's been diagnosed with the the breathing disorder. I'm sorry. But at any rate, please remember, pray for Larry. He's had a lot of other complications, but he keeps on ticking. He keeps on going. And speaking of tickers, Brother J.C. had his pacemaker put in this week, and he came yesterday morning to the men's fellowship and helped cook breakfast. And I think we'll just praise the Lord for that, don't you? Amen. I thank the Lord for that. And I'm not sure he's supposed to have done that. He said the doctor said he could, and so I'm glad he got to come. And thank you for all those who were here. I had committed myself several months ago to preach in Brother Wayne Warren's anniversary service. Brother Donnie went down Friday night, and he cooked a pig down there for him, and they had a great crowd and just great service. And three other guys preached beside myself, and they were all a blessing, and I was blessed. Brother Charles Searles and I rode together. I took Brother Charles with me, and we had a great time fellowshipping, going and coming, and he's a real blessing. Look in this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to share some things with you quickly this morning. And as before we leave, I want to read verse 6. Our emphasis will be on verse 7. But he said in verse number 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to preach to you this morning on verse number 7, especially, casting our cares on Jesus. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God, God would breathe on me now. God, I want to thank you for calling me to preach. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for allowing me to be here, and Lord, to serve this church and serve you. And I pray, God, for your anointing. Thank you, our Father, for the outreach ministry of the E-Team and the media audience that joins us every Sunday. Thank you for those who, Lord, work so diligently for the highway shepherding, our Father, for the thousands upon thousands of people every week that listen to highway shepherd CDs. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on me, speak to me and through me once again. God, you blessed my heart yesterday. And I pray, God, that you would do it here this morning. And God, I pray you'd speak to your people. And Lord, if there's a lost person, man or woman, boy or girl here, I pray they'd get saved. Our Father, I acknowledge the fact that, Lord, there's no good thing in me, but Christ dwelleth in me. And I pray, God, that Christ to be manifest, Christ to speak, Christ to have his way this morning. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing you and I all have in common is we all have burdens. We all have cares. I've heard people use this statement. They don't have a care in the world. Well, they live in a different world. Say amen. Everybody at some point in time have got cares. You've got burdens. You've got things on you. But my dear friend, there's an answer to that. How is it that you and I who know Christ can live aright? Care is an awful thing. So many burdens on you, so many cares that you've got, and they are without number so many times. It seems like they just pile up on you. And they can affect you in so many negative ways. They can affect your health. Even people have worried themselves just about to death because of cares. So many burdens on them and cares of all types. And not only can it hurt that, but it can hurt your heart. There are people who have so many burdens and cares on them, it affects their relationship with the Lord. And they're not as close to God as they ought to be. And that's the time you really ought to get close to God, when you've got so many burdens and so many cares. But it can really affect your home. You see, the weight of this world and the cares of this world, the Bible calls it, the cares of this world, It can affect you. It can discourage you. It can cause you to despair. It can cause divorce. Pastoring 52 years, I've known of families that separated and just had all kind of problems because of the cares of this world. So many burdens on them. But what about it? Quickly this morning, I'm going to share three little thoughts from this passage of scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Let me read the text verse again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, first of all, would remind us of the reality of cares. Everybody's got them. Here's a group of people living shortly after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing to people who have burdens, people who have cares. Everybody has them. You're going to have them as long as you're in this world. Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things happen. The car's going to mess up. The washing machine's going to mess up. Your kids are going to mess up. And you're going to have cares, all types of cares. You may have physical care. There's some people in this building this morning who may, without anybody else know it, they're very anxious because there's something going on in your body. You know it's there. You know something's not right. And in the back of your mind, the devil's whispering cancer. He's whispering all these other things to you. But you've got care about physical conditions. Some of you have been diagnosed with some very severe physical things. And you have those. You try to be active during the day and get your mind off of it. But at night, in the afternoon, it weighs on you heavily. The cares of your physical need. But then there is in your life not only that, but financial need. Lord have mercy. How much money does it take to live? Every bit of it. That's the way it is. It just takes every bit of it. And it don't matter how much you make, it all gets gone somewhere. But he, you know what he said in the Old Testament? He said, you earn money, put it in a basket and with holes in it, or it grows wings and flies away. That's just kind of the way it happens. But we have financial responsibilities. All of us do. And it weighs on you because you want to have a good testimony. You want to pay your bills. You want to be able to have that testimony that you're a good steward of God's money and all those things. And that's a heavy burden on you. It's a heavy thing on you. And then there's the care of your family, husband-wife relationship, and children and grandchildren. And you've got a burden for them. You may see them, some of the kids or some of the grandkids, kind of going the wrong way. And you pray for them earnestly. You carry a care for them. You got a burden in your heart for them. And you you don't know what to do. But it just troubles you. It's just a care on you all the time. You're always worried about them. Always caring about them. It's a heavy, heavy weight. I remember talking to Brother Sammy when Mr. Blight was still living. And they had a daughter that tragically, Blight did, Sammy's sister, died tragically. And he was always scared to death for Sammy. He, as a grown man, married man, he was scared to death for him to travel. And, you know, that's just a daddy thing and a mama thing. You care. And sometimes it gets overwhelming and things happen in your life. And it could be at work. You know, you're doing your best and yet things not going well at work and you got conflict with other employees or with a boss or somebody. There's talk about the plant closing or this, that, and the other. The market's crashing. The things are not working. And you worry about that. How am I going to provide for my family? All those cares. And Peter acknowledges those things. He wants us to know, hey, they are real. They are real. You're living in a real world with real problems. But here's the problem we have with cares. If we're going to have them, one of the problems is we think we can handle them all. We feel like we're the only one who can do it. We're the only one who can do this and do that and do the other. And we feel like it's us to do that. Or in other cases, we might depend on other people to help us. And that's awfully discouraging because sometimes those that we think would step up and really help us, they don't. They act like they don't care. And sometimes they can't help us. They don't know what to do. And then add to that the satanic attack. He'll come against you like he did against Adam and Eve in the garden. And he'll say, God doesn't love you. God doesn't want you to have that fruit right there because he knows if you do that, you'll be like God. He's trying to keep you from having something. And he'll come to you, the devil will come to you and say, God doesn't love you. You're trying to love God. You're trying to serve him, trying to be faithful to him. And yet look at all these problems you're having. Look what's going on in your finances. Look what's going on about your house. Look what's going on about your car. Look what's going on at work. Look what your kids are into. All those cats. Here's what the devil will do. He'll come against you and he'll say this to you, God does not care. If God cared for you, these things wouldn't happen. But I'm glad that this Bible tells us something about that. And I'm glad many years ago, God spoke to a hymn writer and he had something to say about God. Does God care? Listen to Brother Brad for a moment.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deep for mirth or song? As the burdens press, as the cares distress, and grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. Heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
when the devil tells you in the darkest night of your life, God doesn't love you and God doesn't care, you tell him he's a liar. That Jesus loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son for you, and that he loves you. Peter would remind us of the reality of cares. But then there's a second thing I want you to note in this short verse. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He would remind us of the relationship of Christ to our cares. And notice how it's worded there at the end. And I feel like God may have spoke to my heart a truth here. He said in the last part of that verse, for he careth for you. He careth for you. And I got to thinking about that, and as God began to deal with my heart, he did not say God cares about you. I care about you. I care about everybody in this church, even our visitors and guests. I want God's best for you. I want you to be saved. I want you to go to heaven. But I don't take care of every one of you. There's a great difference in caring about somebody and taking care. And I'm fixing to get a Holy Ghost bump right here. He's telling us God is not a question mark, but God takes care of you. Not that he just has some emotional attraction to you, but he really cares. It has this thought in it. It is given all diligence to care for an individual or some other particular item. It is his obsession to care for you. He focuses all of his heart on us, all of his attention on us. It is this idea that he not only has that desire to help us, but it brings in play all of his abilities and treasures to meet our need. God will take care of you. The devil is a liar. Brother Charles and I were riding yesterday, and he's done this mission work for over 50 years. He just does it all by faith. He started when he was 30 years old by faith. First time he and two guys went to the mission field, they had one guy's name, and they got a plane ticket and flew down to wherever they went to, Jamaica, wherever, and he didn't show up. And there they were. But God had a plan. But he talked about how God's done things over the years. And he said, I've never had any money, but I've never been broke. You understand what he's saying? You pray this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Never had anything, never had any money, but never been broke. God always takes care of us, and God's taking care of you. You look at the future, you look at what's going on around you right now, and you say, what in the world am I going to do? Well, trust him, because he takes care of you. It brings into play all of his resources, all of his wisdom. Do you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that God knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. All of the wisdom. There's people that got burdens, they've got needs, they've got cares that I really don't know how to help them. But God does. And he takes care of you. He's taking care of you now. God will take care of you. He's all of his treasures. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not that God just cares about you, but God takes care of you. You're his child. He's not going to let you go without. All of his wisdom, all of his riches, all of his power is directed toward helping you and taking care of you. He will protect you. He will provide for you because he cares. And he's doing that. He careth for you. And not only all of his wisdom, and not only all of his riches, and all of his power, but all of his heart. He loves you as he loved his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God will take care of you. You're saved. You're going through a dark place, maybe physical, financial, family. I want you, don't let the devil get you defeated. Don't let him get you discouraged. In due time, he said, if you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in due time, he'll exalt you. God's got a timetable when he's going to meet that need, when he's going to bring it to pass, and you'll see God in a way that I saw a little sign up at the farmer's market the other day. I'm not sure I've got it right, but it's the way I read it and the way it stuck in my mind. It said when you're walking through a dark place, it just simply means you're going somewhere that you've never been before. And when you're walking in a dark place, it means you're going somewhere that God has shown himself like he's never shown it before. God's going to show himself to be God in your dark hour. And you, what a time of rejoicing you have. I want you to know, listen, that ought to get in your heart this morning. Look at it. Let me read it to you again. Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. Not that he cares about you, but he cares for you. He's going to take care of you. You can trust him. And again, I'm thankful that years ago, God put it in the heart of a hymn writer to express what Peter says in this passage of Scripture. God will take care of you.
God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care. God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast. God will take care of you.
Is that he'll take care of you. You're his, our heavenly Father. And the word Father in the Greek text means provider. And it doesn't mean a provider in part, but is a total benefactor. It is somebody who takes care of every phase of your life. And that brings us to the third point that I want to say about this verse. Not only does Peter remind us of the reality of care, not only does he remind us of the fact that Jesus, God, will take care of you, but he gives us an admonition about the release of those cares. How do you get rid of them? What do you do with them? And he says this in this passage of Scripture, casting all your care upon him. Peter was a fisherman. And so I note the symbolism that he uses here. When I was down in Florida, the first time I ever really came acquainted with it, pastored in Florida 10 years, many years ago, and we'd go down to the coast and to the bay, and when the mullet were running, you'd see guys down there with a cast net. You can see them on the coast up and down through here. I have a cast net that I throw. Sometimes it throws me. But I have a 6-foot net, but I've seen guys down there throw 12-foot nets. I've seen them throw, there was one guy down there that they said had a 19-foot cast net, and he could throw it, and it'd open up like an umbrella. And when a school of mullet come by, he could fill up a pickup truck just about with it. But what it is, you see those guys, they take that the weight line at the bottom of that net, and they'll roll it up on their arm, and they'll get that net just right. Sometimes they hold part of it in their teeth, and it's a real technique to it. You got to work at it a long time. But they'll throw it, and they just turn it loose. Now, they do have a draw line to pull it back to them, but that's not Peter's emphasis. His emphasis is all of the weight, you cast it away. And where do you cast it? You cast it to somebody. So notice in the symbolism, it's a casting. It's a releasing of it. And the scope of that casting, cast all of your cares, not just the big ones, but the little ones. Every care you've got to just turn it over to him. Yeah. Just cast it on to him. Throw it on to him. I either read or heard a story several years ago about an old fellow walking down the road, and he had a big old burlap bag on his back full of something heavy. And he had just about gone as far as he could. He was exhausted. One step at a time, he could just barely go. Friend came by in a wagon, and he said, "Friend, if you'll get in my wagon, I'll carry you home." He said, "I sure would be much obliged." And he climbed up in the back of the wagon, and they rattled down the road for just a short distance. And the driver turned around and looked at the fellow in the back, and he was sitting there in the back of that wagon, and he still had that big old burden that he was carrying, sitting in his lap, holding on to it like this, jostling down the road. And he said, "Friend, why are you doing that?" He said, "I can carry you and your burden, but you don't have to carry your burden. I'll carry it for you. Just lay it in the wagon." And a lot of times you get saved by the grace of God, and you trusted him explicitly. You know that he said he bore all of our sins in his own body on the tree. He took care of every sin of yours. And if you're saved today, you came by faith and said, "God, I believe you have taken care. You bore all of my sin. You carried all my sin in your own body on the tree. And I trust you for that. And God, I'm trusting that you took care of all my sin. And I receive you now as my Savior, Lord." And if you did that, you got saved. You had such a joy. You had such a release. Had such a blessing. But Peter's telling us here the very same thing now about your cares. Understand this. He taketh care of you. And you don't have to carry your load. You don't have to carry that burden. It's God's. I remember I shared with you, I don't remember what sermon it is. Old Dr. Bobby Robertson told me one time about going up and preaching in Pennsylvania somewhere at a rescue mission. And he said a little fellow, a short fellow, about that tall, and he said he was a ball of fire. And he said that they had somebody to pick Brother Bobby up at the hotel every night and take him to the rescue mission where he preached at. And this one particular night, Brother Bobby said, "I was standing on the sidewalk waiting for my driver." And he said, I looked, and he said, "Here come this long old car, one of them old-timey Pontiacs or something, about a half a block long." And he said, "It was weaving in and out of traffic." And he said, "I looked, and I could just barely see the top of his head." And he said, as he pulled up to us on the sidewalk, he said, "He run up on the curb and bounced out on the curb." And he said, "Get in, Brother Bobby, we're running late." And he said, "I got in there praying." He said, "That old fellow looked through the steering wheel and drove like that." He said, "I prayed all the way to the thing." And he said, "Before we pulled out," he said, "Brother Bobby," he said, "we got to pray now. We're running late." And he said, he prayed. He said, "God, put four angels in each fender of this car. Go, here we go." And he took off. And he said, "I prayed God would put them on the hedge and put all around me." But he said, "We made it." He said, after the meeting was over, he said he was looking around and couldn't find the feller. And he said he'd gone back to his office. And Brother Bobby said he went down, he heard him talking to somebody. And he said he didn't want to interrupt him, but he knew he had to catch a flight. And so he said he for a few minutes, and then he just stepped inside the door. And he said the old fellow was sitting in an office chair with his feet up on the desk. and he had a bunch of papers in his hand. And he said he was praying. And he said he prayed the most unusual prayer I've ever heard. He said, God, this is your rescue mission. These are your people. I'm your servant. These are your bills. You got to pay all these bills before the week's out. Brother Bobby said it taught him something about praying and about living. You don't have any bills. They're his bills. You don't have any burdens. They're his burdens. You got to cast them on him. You say, Brother Billy, why would he do that? Same reason he died for you. Because he loved you. He loved you so much he gave his life a ransom for you. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to tell you right now, nobody ever loved you like Jesus loves you. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus cares for you. And in this passage of scripture this morning, he said you cast all your cares on him. Because the Bible said, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give you all things? I want you to know this morning, you can leave here. You may leave here in debt. You may leave here with your car broke down. You may leave here with all kind of problems that you come in. But I want you to cast them on him. Leave out of here shouting the victory. Leave out of here saying, praise God. I know one thing. He taketh care of me. He's going to take care of it. I don't know when, don't know how. If he'll give me wisdom to do something, I'll do it. If he puts it on the heart of somebody else to help, that's fine. Ever how he wants to do it. And why is it that we won't cast our cares on him? Why? Same reason people don't get saved. Number one, because of pride. If you're going to get saved, you got to humble yourself and admit, I cannot save myself. You got to come to the end of yourself and say, God, without you, I'll die and go to hell. I have no hope of heaven. You're my only hope. And you trust him explicitly, and you confess that you cannot save yourself. But sometimes we think we can handle it. We are the man. We can take care of these burdens. I can care of this problem. I can do that. But we can't. That's what Peter's telling us. You don't have to. He will take care of you. You cast all of them on him. Just trust him. Praise him that he's going to take care of it. Bless his name. Be obedient to him. The second reason is this. Not only that you're full of pride and you won't turn them loose and you won't bow and trust Christ. The second is this. A lack of faith. You don't believe he took all your sins to the cross. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got to have faith to be saved. You got to believe that he took all your sins to the cross. And you need to, by faith, trust him that he's going to take care of every need you got. It said in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Now, I know we get saved by faith, but it said the just shall live by faith. Often we talk about missionaries living by faith, but I want to tell you that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building must learn to live by faith. By living by faith, you believe in him that he's going to take care of every need you got. He's going to take care of every care you got, and you'll trust him with it, and you'll cast it on him, and you'll rejoice. Oh, listen. Oh, what an admonition. Cast all your cares on him. Oh, what an invitation. God, the Holy Ghost, put that in Peter's heart, which means this. God saying, you cast all your cares on me. I'll take care of you. God wants you to do that. And oh, what an adoration. When you come to that place like when you got saved and the burden was gone and you trusted him and the sky was blue and the birds were singing and you were rejoicing, thank God I know I'm saved. If you'll come to the place in your Christian experience to where you can trust him with every burden, every need, you'll relive that wonderful truth that no one ever cared for you like Jesus. Would you bow your heads for just a few moments? And I remind you this morning, and Brad will remind you, that no one cares for you like Jesus.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me
and cast your cares on him.
All my heart was full of misery.
He loves you.
And
if you'll come and cast your cares on him, just by faith and trust him, let him take care of you. He careth for you. He'll take care of you.
And he led me in the way.
Come join these around the altar. Many are coming. Will you come? Just lay every burden out. Cast them all on him. Don't take them back to your seat. Just say, God, I trust you. Nobody ever loved you like him.
As he, no one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Just before Brad sings another verse, let me give an appeal to those who may not know Christ in the media audience. Or you may be saved and you've got so many burdens and cares you don't know where to go. I'm going to just tell you, go to Jesus. Cast them on him right now by faith, just like you trust him by faith for salvation. And say, God, I'm going to just turn this loose now. I don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, but I'm going to just trust you. And I want to thank you for your promise that you're going to take care of me, and I cast all my cares on you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me to worship you. Help me to walk in liberty. Help me to walk in victory. And if you're in the media audience or in this building, you've never trusted Christ, I'm going to just tell you, nobody ever loved you like Jesus loved you. And if you'll come to him, he wants to save you. And if you'll come and say, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Save me right now. I promise you, he'll do it. He'll do it today. And I invite others to come and cast your cares on him. As Brother Brad sings another verse, I invite you to come right now. God bless you as you come.
Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love.
For it.
But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Just turn it loose. Cast it on.
There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray for all of our dear friends in the media audience and here this morning. I pray that not one person would leave this building without knowing 100% sure that they're saved and heaven's their home. I pray Holy Ghost God would convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment and make them absolutely miserable until they find rest and peace and the one who loved them before the foundation of the world and gave his only son that they might have life. God, save them for Jesus' sake. And God, for all those who are saved, but yet they've been carrying such heavy cares and burdens, it's just about broke them down. God, give them grace to be able to cast it on you and just trust you. And Lord, to rejoice in your victory and to humble themselves before God, and that you will exalt them in due time. You're going to come through. You're going to meet that need. You're going to answer prayer. And God, help us to love and walk in faith and trust you. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you remain standing just a moment? Brother Brad, will you find that song again, you and Miss Brenda? God will take care of you. And I want us to sing that together in just a few moments. But let me encourage you once again, be back in the evening service tonight. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And if you've been coming the last several times we've had the Lord's Supper, that's what we do. It's not an add-on. That is our service. We come to remember what he did for us on the cross. And we worship him in the Lord's Supper and communicate with him, fellowship with him. So we'll do that first. Then I'm going to baptize. And then we're going to go back to the back. But those who are going to be working as counselors, prayer walkers, and all the other things that are related to that, security guard. Brother Tim and Miss Wendy want to meet with you tonight. Just a few minutes. You won't leave the auditorium. You stay right here. And he said they're going to meet with you right here tonight. So please come back for that brief meeting, and then you'll go back to fellowship. Paul Keith Langdon has got us some ice cream. Ask you to bring finger foods and everything. It's a special send-off for Ms. Mary Pierce. And you've got another prayer this morning about a granddaughter that she's not got to see, and that she's been diagnosed with epilepsy. So let's pray for her and ask God's blessing. And then we encourage you, if you could help her financially with this move. And of course, she's one of the widows of our church. Brother Donnie Pierce was a wonderful man of God, and God sent him here, and we treasure them. They've been precious to us. And I'm glad she's getting to go live with her daughter. But some of you may not get to come back tonight. And so guys, if you don't mind, if you could get the offering plates, and we'll do it that way. As you leave, I'll let you share. And if you want to make a check to the church, then Miss Trudy will make sure it all goes to Miss Mary. And tonight, if you will, you come, bring her a card, a special gift tonight if you want to do that. So, but I figured some of you might not get to come back. And I want you to do that. I want to encourage you to go ahead and get the boxes for the Samaritan's Purse and go ahead and get those put together and start doing it now. You can buy little items all along, and you don't have to do so much at one time. So what we're going to do, we're going to just take the offering plates by the door. But I want us to sing this song. And I was thinking about what Brad was singing. Don't you praise God for Brother Brad? I texted him, believe it or not, I texted him last night about 9 o'clock. And I said, here I am again, 9 o'clock on my Saturday night request. And I gave him three songs. Last Sunday, I gave him the one on We Shall Behold Him. And I said, now, if you don't think you can get it all together, I'll understand. And he texted me back. He said, gotcha. And I love that. Praise God. Wonderful. What a blessing from heaven. And he and Miss Brenda this morning, I thank the Lord for them. But I want to make this a little personal, Brother Brad. Let's sing. We might not know all the verse, but he'll sing the first verse. And when we get to the chorus, God will take care of you. Brad, let's change that and say, God will take care of
me.
Yeah, amen. Let's sing that together. Brad, help us. And he'll sing the verse. And then when we come to the chorus, let's just change up you to me. Make it personal, will you?
Dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of me. Every day, through every, or all the way, or although he will take care of me, he will take care of me. when dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care. God will take care of me through every day, through every, or all the way, or all the way. He will. He
say, take that devil. Amen. Praise God. God's going to take care of you. Don't let the devil defeat you, discourage you. God's going to take care of you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Say, he'll take care of you. And just like take care of me. God bless you. Be back tonight for the evening service. Help with the offering as you leave. Thank you for being here. God bless you.